You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 23rd of December, and it's game day. The NBA season is upon us, the Utah Jazz and the Portland Trailblazers. We'll dig into that. We'll talk a little bit more about the Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell pick and roll, the season ahead of us, and some thoughts on last night's games. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Today's show is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by the 10 most distinctive designers working today using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana. 10 designers have made uniquely beautiful diamond rings launching on BlueNile.com on January 18th. It's game day. We are here for it. We'll dig into it in a second, get you ready for it tonight. Ron and I will be with you. Bowler and Thurl, I think, maybe Burl and Matt will be with you as well. We'll be coming to you from Vivint, and the team will be in Portland on this unique season. And boy, we saw the uniqueness of this season right out of the chute yesterday. Joe Ingles missed practice the day before for protocol, so you know it's COVID-related. Turns out he got a false positive. Well, he gets a false positive. He runs his kids down to the arena. They all get tested. Well, he gets a positive. He doesn't know it's false yet. They're all negative. So he goes and isolates in a hotel, retests negative. Now, as he says, now I'm confused. Retests again, negative, and I think may have had to retest another time, negative. So then they know it's a false positive, and you move forward with it. It's just, that's the season it's going to be. That happens on a game day, and you miss a player for a game. Stanford football lost their starting quarterback against Oregon on a false positive. But the scary one is the story out of Florida. If you haven't followed that one, Keontae Johnson, who collapsed, now has acute myocarditis. And, you know, the one thing I would say, I've as someone who's in the NBA, believes what they're doing, frankly, you know, the new attorney general is who the NBA hired last year to get them in through the bubble. And I kind of have just followed the NBA as closely as I can and on what they're doing. And the NBA has a protocol right now where if a player tests positive, they have to come back and pass two heart exams before they are able to play again. And to me, that's a pretty telling, right? These are multi-million dollar assets that were also human. And the fact that the NBA is putting them through that gives me, at least for me, is an insight to like how significant and how serious this can really be. And I don't know what the rest of you have experienced, but I would say as a 50-year-old, without being scientific, I've had some unnatural amount of people have experiences recently. Or not good experiences. So to me, like that's actually the kind of the scariest story of the day is that story out of Florida. And, you know, we'll see what happens now. But, you know, he did pass out. Luckily, he's alive and hopefully can live a life. He was the SEC freshman of the year. So basketball might not be a part of it. It's really sad. And he was COVID positive earlier in the summer, as was most of his team. So nonetheless, I just, you know, that's to me, it's like, there's two sides of this. One is we've just got to be so careful because clearly there's a lot to this with some lingering after effects we're not entirely clear of because it is novel. And two, we're dealing with, because it is novel, all of these different kind of aspects of things. And so we end up with what Joe Ingles had to go through the other day, which is real. All right, I wanted to build on yesterday's conversation. I did some more work on Donovan and Rudy. I'll actually share with you, I did this work because of Ron Boone, which is kind of awesome. Like I call Ron and I gave him kind of the data I pulled yesterday on yesterday's show about Donovan and Rudy. And if you didn't catch it yesterday, the data on Donovan and Rudy is just how their pick and roll quickly has, I'd suggest going to listen to yesterday's show, but in case you haven't, is just how much their pick and roll has evolved. So they used to, they weren't particularly good at it, really. They were below league average. In 17-18, they ran, in Donovan's rookie year, 859 picks and were 0.94 points per pick. In 18-19, they ran 1,430 picks. They were 0.92. So 0.94 and 0.92. The league average is above that, about 0.95 on a pick and roll. Well, last year, floor space a little bit more. Donovan gets better. Rudy gets better. They ran 1,026 picks, and they went from 0.92 to 1.09 points per pick. Pretty tremendous. The feeling I had was that they had gotten better throughout the year, so then I went and pulled the last 507 picks, splitting the season in half, and they were 1.12 points in those final half of the year together. To put that in perspective, right, league average is 0.95, they're 1.12. Only person better for the season was Lou Williams and Jamichael Green at 1.15. Middleton and Lopez were next best at 1.11. Donovan and Rudy for the season were actually the eighth best pick and roll combination in the league. After January 1st, they were the third best behind CP3 and Gallinari and Joe and Rudy. And after January 26th, which was my midway breaking point for them in picks, they were number two. So I went and delved into it a little bit more. I thought there were some interesting aspects. So let's just start with frequency. And some of this, you know, you have to understand that playoff matchups are unique. But during the season, Donovan, on average, ran 30 picks a game, 22 of them resulting in a play at the end. So 22 times he came off what's called a direct pick, which is when he ends up, the play ends with Donovan off a pick and roll. He ran 30 picks. During the Denver series, he ran 44. So he went from 30 to 44, and his direct picks, in other words, plays that ended, went from 22 to 33. Now, something that's interesting is if you look at the season and say, oh, when was he best on the pick and roll? You know what actually jumps out is some regular season games against Denver. So there's a level of this where this, okay, well, that's the future. There's also a level of this where, you know, Jokic is just not good defensively, nor is Jamal Murray. I mean, Derek White torched them in the playoffs a few years before. And so there is a level where you have to be a little careful in overplaying that and understand just the matchup. You know, Jerome James had a great playoff series against Sacramento. We watched as then Isaiah Thomas decided that was a sign that he was terrific and signed him to a long-term contract. It was the matchup. But, I mean, Donovan's best pick-and-roll game all year long with Rudy was on January 30th against Denver in the regular season. They ran 12 picks and averaged about 2 points per chance. Like, pretty incredible. The other team that that Rudy and Donovan torched last year was the Clippers. Interestingly, had we made it to the second round of the playoffs, are two of Donovan's and Rudy's four best pick and roll days together in their combination were against the Clippers. So that would have been, you know, a good matchup. And that's just kind of big. You know, Montrezl Harrell's not very good defensively. So they were, you know, those guys, they were able to take advantage of some aspects there. So I think, you know, there's an interest. So this is going to be worth kind of keeping an eye on, I think. And this has to do with, you know, what's Mike's role and things of that nature and how the Jazz do with it. Donovan, his best pick and roll games last year kind of were all over the place. So I was trying to see if they were all early in the season or all late in the season. And when I ran his numbers for the games where he had his best pick and roll games, there's about 15 games where he was over, actually 17 games where he's over 1.2 points per pick and roll. They're actually kind of equally dispersed across the season. There wasn't a great trend there. Some of them were bubble. Of those three of them are against Denver in the bubble and four of them are against Denver. So certainly, you know, of his top 17 pick and roll games where he was over 1.2 points per chance, he's, you know, a bunch of them are against Denver. The rest are against not very good teams. Golden State, Charlotte, New Orleans early in the season, Sacramento, Minnesota, Detroit, Golden State again, Houston, the Lakers a good team early in the year. He had a good game. Detroit again, Phoenix, Miami, pretty good team. Denver again, Portland, who we'll see tonight. Donovan had a 38-pick game in which he was at 1.2 points per game and very impressive. For Donovan and Rudy, though, it was different. Most of their best games did come later in the year, interestingly enough. And Donovan and Rudy had 26 games all year in which they were 1.2 or better. And if you run through them, they are heavily into the January, February, March, and then bubble area of things. Where, you know, again, Denver, they're able to exploit, but you can see that those two got better as the year went on. Their best combinations, again, against Denver and LA, Clippers, that is, but then also Lakers, Houston in January, Sacramento, Detroit in March, Portland, same combination we're talking about, but that was a February game, not the game, and it was against Whiteside, not Zubac, but two of Rudy and Donovan's best 10 games, pick and roll wise, are against Portland, which is worth noting for the Jazz today. So, you know, it's just worth keeping an eye on. I thought it was interesting data to show that. I think it's probably the most important data to show where this is going. All right, we'll preview Portland next. Why Portland's such a difficult matchup for us. What Portland has to say about the Jazz as well. Have you listened to Locked On Bets yet? They nailed it yesterday. Two big wins. They got the Brooklyn game. I think the BetOnline AG betting line on that one was like 7. And Portland win by like 20. And then Nevada was the wrong team favored yesterday in the BetOnline podcast. If you haven't listened to, in the Locked On Bets podcast, if you haven't listened to it yet, 10 to 15 minutes, biggest games of the day, hosted by your boy Q from Locked On Raiders and Lee Sterling. It is your betting podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag. You can go to BetOnline.ag today, sign up for a free account, use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. With the NFL games this weekend, college bowl games, congratulations to BYU, and NBA starting is a great time. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in the action. Don't forget to use that to promo code Locked On to receive 50% welcome bonus for your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. Today's show is brought to you by Steve Carter and the crew over Intercap Lending. As I've said before, Steve Carter's just amazing. I was talking with my partner yesterday. In fact, they got their thing done easily, no problem, just like Steve Carter does. He laughed, having worked with me for a bunch of years. Like, I cannot believe that they got you through two mortgages. No, they did. That's what Steve Carter does. That's what makes him so great. Intercap is a longtime standing company that has come to Utah. Josh Romney brought them to Utah. They continue to expand because they're getting deals done. And Steve Carter is our personal loan officer for Locked On Jazz. I've used him twice. My partner's used him. I've sent him to a bunch of different people there. And it's with ease and pleasure that I recommend. You can email me. I'll set up the meeting for you directly. I've done that for a bunch of people who said, hey, who was your guy? And I just go ahead and send it across to them. What Steve Carter does is they're hyper-flexible. They have, because they're a direct lender, they're able to help you out, and then Steve's just amazing. So call Steve at 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Utah Jazz, Portland Trailblazers, here we come. Opener of the year. So Portland's a tough matchup for us. Last year, the Jazz played Portland 3 times. And Dame goes off for 51 in that February game. Otherwise, the Jazz won 2 of 3, but Lillard had 42. In the last two games, the Jazz have seen Dame. He's an insane 33 of 59. 33 of 59. 17 of 29 from 3. So what the math does on this is that you want guys taking off the bounce threes is a good shot, unless the guy's Dame Lillard. And then this causes the Jazz great problems. Because what Dame Lillard has done has become an elite level shooter. 55 games, 55 games. 55 players took two off-the-bounce threes point shots last year per game. J.J. Redick was the best at 42.1. Paul George was second at 40.6. And Dame was third at 40%. But he took seven in a game. Of the top 20 players in the league in off-the-bounce three-point shots last year, only two players who shot over 40% were Dame Lillard and Jason Tatum. The only two. So, when you look at, like, what Dame's doing, Dame has the capability of blowing up the Jazz offense because he's the one guy in the world that can do what he's doing. And that in turn is the problem. Jazz drop Rudy back. Dame comes off the pick. Dame rises for 7.5 attempts a game. And he buries the threes and is making them at a 40% clip. And it's a serious problem. So, This is what Jamal Murray did to the Jazz too. This is the concept of where Rudy has to evolve. Can Rudy come out and defend and alter Dame's shot enough to have an impact? While also, you know, not stopping people from getting to the rim. The next trick on this is the fact that Dame can shoot it just from so deep, it doesn't matter. Like, how far out is Rudy willing to go? And there is a point here where, frankly, Dame has just gotten so good, he's busted the game a little bit. But that's where we are with Dame. He's busted the game. Because when you look at those other guys that I'm talking about, J.J. Redick, Paul George, Dame's shooting 40% on seven attempts. J.J. Redick's doing 42% on two attempts. Paul George is doing 41% on three attempts. There's only five guys in the league out of the top 55 guys who took at least two a game, shot over 40%. Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart are the others. Boyan, by the way, is eighth best. So that's the first thing to watch today. Dame is the number one pick-and-roll player in the league. He's got the ability to shoot the three out the bounce. It's going to revolutionize to change the game. It's what Donovan added in the bubble and became unstoppable. And how do the Jazz deal with it? Because Dame has been the nemesis that the Jazz have absolutely no answer to. Right? Last year, 34, 51, and 42. Last two games, 33 of 59 and 17 of 29 from three. 17 of 29. Like, somehow you've got to avoid him getting into rhythm. And I don't know how you do it. The other one that's worth noting that's probably the bigger problem is Dame averages 20 shots a night. He's taking 30 against us. So that might be the first thing, is how do you avoid him getting 30 a game? One thing that will be really interesting is with Nurkic back and Whiteside gone, they ran a lot of Whiteside pick and roll last year because Nurkic was out. He only played six in the bubble. So we'll see how they deal with it. But, I mean, they run 71 picks a night. They're coming at you with a pick and roll with Dame. But can we get Dame down to 20 shots? Another interesting one on the Portland side is Dame and CJ together. I've kind of bounced around all year with it. So last year, they played 28 minutes on the floor together. They were plus three. That's been, they've gone from, in 17-18, they played 26 minutes on the floor together, and then they split the other minutes of the night up between minutes with Dame and minutes with just Dame and minutes with just CJ. However, in 17-18, with just CJ, they were minus six per 100 possessions. So at 18-19, they went away from that. And they put Dame and CJ on the floor together more, 30 minutes a night, They were plus 7. They played Dame by himself a little bit. They were plus 9. They played just 5 minutes with CJ and no Dame. They were minus 0.1. But the minutes without the two of them were really a struggle. And I think made them uncomfortable. Last year, they went back to about 28 minutes of Dame and CJ together. In the 11 minutes with Dame and no CJ, they were minus 2. In the 12 minutes without CJ, with CJ and no Dame, they were minus 5. CJ, when they don't have Dame on the floor and they just have CJ, it's a problem. So that's worth keeping an eye on as well. They've added Robert Covington. He's a career 36% three-point shooter. He only shot 32% from threes in Houston last year. He's been a double-figure scorer for about 7 straight. And the weird thing is last year he played 72% of his minutes as center for Houston. Derek Jones is their other starter, 6'6 athlete. Started 16 games in Miami. This is their big free agent move, but he only shot 28% from three. Not sure how that's going to work. And then their bench is this offensive group that has no defense. Rodney Hood, Carmelo Anthony, Enes Kanter. Hood's back December 6th. He tore his Achilles tendon 8 minutes into the game. He's back for the first time. Great to see. And Kanter's back after playing just 23 games in Portland from 18-19. They allow a lot of corner threes last year. And they're changing their defense this year. They're in the same situation. They used to play the drop big. Nurkic would hang around the rim. They would prevent you from getting the rim. They've always been one of the best teams in the league at your shooting percentage at the rim. Last year, they were third best at defending shots at the rim. They just allowed a lot of them. But they also allowed some of the highest amount of corner three. They allowed the they allowed 40% shooting on corner threes last year. They allowed they were 29th percent in defending 3-point shots last year. Catch and shoot game for the Jazz should be available tonight. Can they swing it around and get it to the corners and get those corner threes that make the Jazz so great? One thing of interest out of Portland offense last year, they were just terrific in the half court. Their defense was the opposite. They were one of the worst defenses in the league after a make. So if you actually got them in the half court, you could really exploit them. So those will be the things we'll watch tonight. Really, Rudy's defense on the pick and roll is big as anything. Conley and Lillard will be playing their 22nd game against each other. Conley's had good games against Dame. That'll be another one to keep an eye on. And who do they match up with Donovan? Is it CJ? Donovan should have a good game against CJ. Conley had 18 in the February, 22 and 18 in the last two matchups against Portland. So he should be able to... Mike Conley should be able to have a better debut than certainly he had last year. That was an unfortunate debut for Mike last year. Today's show brought to you by Built Go. Built's building all sorts of great things, and Go is the 1.5-ounce package. You can put in your briefcase, put in your ski jacket, put in your golf bag, and take it when you're feeling that crash. It's 5-hour energy without the crash. When you're hitting that wall, Built Go is going to bust you through it, and it's natural, so it makes the body better. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. 3 flavors, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint, and peanut butter honey. It works so well because it combines energy gel with collagen proteins. Collagen, fast-absorbing, so it goes into your system, promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. Stuff literally actually makes you look better. Use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED. 20% off your next order at Built Go. Let's go. Few Jazz notes to watch for today. One, you know, obviously in the preseason, our offense was rolling. 44 of our 82 shots were threes, and we're shooting 40%. So what's our three rate? I think is the one to watch. In the preseason, we had the 8th best first half offense, 5th best defense, and 26 of our 43 shots were threes. Once we're raining the threes, can we get the driving lanes going? So worth watching on that end. Shot distribution, I think, is important. Last year it was Donovan, 19, Boyan, 15, Clarkson, 13, Conley, 12. Let's see where that is this year. And how many pick and rolls is Donovan involved in? That's what we've talked about the last 2 days. Second unit favors defense, going to be vital. So this is a good offensive second unit, but Cantor, Carmelo, Hood, can the Jazz take advantage of that second unit? And then I think a lot of eyes early in the season on Mike Conley. Lowest usage rate he had in his career last year. Huge adjustment. But in Orlando, he went over 27 times. He'd only done it 6 times prior. Boyan's increased his scoring average 6 straight seasons. Only Spencer Dinwiddie and Giannis Antetokounmpo have done that. I don't know that he can do it again at 20 points a game, but we'll see. So it's all starting tonight. It's pretty exciting. And we'll see whether or not the Jazz offense that, you know, just was great last year, not just since preseason. Number one catch and shoot. Number one open three-point shooting team. Number one offense after December 24th until the bubble. Number one in drives. Number four in picks. That's now. Also, though, the Jazz played the most half-court possessions last year. Can they get out and go a little bit? All right, before digging into last night's action, I thought nice respect from C.J. McCollum yesterday about who the Utah Jazz are and what he sees in the team.
It's definitely a fun challenge. Whenever you get to compete against, you know, elite guards, elite players in general, it's a lot of fun. He's continued to evolve. He can score in a variety of ways. He's learning how to run his own team, get to the free throw line. He can shoot off the bounce, finish around the basket. So we're gonna have our hands full. We gotta all guard him. We gotta all help and be aware of him. But not just him overall. They got another guy. Bogdanovich is very good. Shoots the ball extremely well. Ingles is a heady player. Mike Conley is a guy who's been in the league for a long time. He's extremely talented. Rudy's arguably one of the best bigs in the league. So the list goes on and on. They got bench scoring. They got a good coach. So we're looking forward to the challenge. And there's no easy outs in the NBA, especially in the West. We're gonna be playing bulk load of our Western Conference games in the first half of the season, so we got to be ready to play.
Nice respect there from C.J. McCollum toward the Utah Jazz. Let me run off a few things last night. I thought both the Lakers and Clippers looked really good. The Nicholas Batum addition to the Clippers was not talked about, but he and Luke Kennard and Serge Ibaka, that team is way better. They might be the best team in the West. I mean, I kind of said that earlier. I'm not just saying that since they won last night. But the Batum point guard is who they needed for ball movement. Kennard moves the ball. Ibaka spreads the floor. They're way better. I think they're way better. Obviously, whether they have team turmoil, but I think they've also forgotten how good they were a year ago as well. Lakers look great. They've got depth. I do wonder about the amount Schroeder's going to shoot on that team and how it works at things. Brooklyn is crazy deep. Wow, are they deep. 9 deep. 9 guys who could play 25 minutes a night or more. And the Warriors might be awful. It's early for that, but they were awful last year. That's like what everyone has forgotten is in the few games that they played where everybody was healthy, they were awful then too. And that, I think, should be a little disconcerting if you're a Warrior fan. The last 157 minutes, this was as of halftime, the Warriors have been outscored by 56 points with Steph on the floor. 150 by 56. Last year, if you look at the whole year, now after, I think I told it up at some point last year, and they just, you know, Wiggins played 31 minutes last night. He had 2 rebounds and 1 assist. Like, he just doesn't do what he's supposed to do, and I'm not sure that Steph, he's minus 55 in his last 6 games. I'm not sure he has enough juice all by himself just to carry that team. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Jazz Blazers will be on the call. Look forward to having you join us and be back with you tomorrow for a Christmas Eve game recap edition of Locked On Jazz. Right now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On Bets. And also, you can get Locked On NBA for the recap of last night as well as Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a super day.